So before he goes and do all this great stuff for a Christian, he was hunting Christians. He literally had a license. Like, murder is wrong, but this dude had a license to kill people who believed in Jesus. Like, yo, I don't know about you, but that's a dude that makes me nervous. Like, so now we get to this place and he's persecuting Christians, and Saul's on this road on mission to persecute Christians. And when he's there, he falls and he has this vision. And I don't really know how it happened, but I feel like God says, like, yo, Saul, you're not just persecuting them. What you feel like you're persecuting them, you're really persecuting me. And I'm so glad that I got a God that says, hey, I'm going to stand in the gap here. And I'm going to make it. So Saul has this vision, and I can't prove this. Like, I don't know, but I imagine Saul's like walking and he's mad. He's like, just go get me some Christians. Got his boys with him. And Saul, and Jesus beats down from heaven. He's like, Saul, bro, what are you doing? And Saul leaves blind. I'm trying to paraphrase because I've already used a whole lot of time. He gets up from this road of Damascus and he leaves blind. And so now, for the first time in Saul's life, he's experiencing naturally what he's always been spiritually. Blind.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. This morning, we welcomed a guest speaker by the name of Don Hamilton. We hope that you enjoyed the message that Don delivered, and we hope it blesses you as it has us. And now, Brother Don.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Man, so first off, let me apologize because last week I totally blew it. Anybody ever just blew it before? Just like, yeah. So I think on the schedule, I was meant to be here last week. And I thought it was this week. But your pastor was really gracious with me. You know, I've been places where they're like, no, you're not going to come back anymore. But he didn't do that. He was really cool about it. He was like, hey, just come next week. He's really great. So thank you guys so much for opening up your pulpit to us, to me today. And I'm just really, really excited to be in Calhoun. And so, hey, thanks for having me. So actually, it was really funny because I actually had a really good friend in school named Calhoun, and I don't really know what that means, or I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean anything. I just feel like I should share that I had a friend in college. His name was Calhoun. He wasn't saved, so we're still praying for him. But still, I think it's cool. A great coincidence. So here's how this works. One, I want to say, my family's not here. I have a family of, geez Louise, it's six of us. So we have we have five kids. I have to count them still. We have five kids and pray for us. They're not here. They're out of town, actually. I probably should be on their way back by now. And I was going to go with them. I was like, man, I can't miss again 2 weeks in a row. I told the guy I would be there. And so they left without me. So I've missed my family. But they'll be back today. So just we'll be praying for them. This is my wife. She's texting me now on my phone. She know I'm preaching. So obviously, I don't know. She's just disrespectful. So pray for her as well. But man, can we pray? And then we're just going to jump into this. So I didn't really know what we were doing. I asked Pastor. I looked at last week's live stream. And shout out to your live stream guys back there, man. They're doing such a great job at navigating through. Because let's be honest, our nation is just, it's crazy right now, right? Right? And so man, a lot of churches find themselves in places that they weren't ready to be in, if ever thinking that they were going to be there. Like, I know a lot of churches that was like, hey, man, we weren't looking to live stream, but if we still wanted to be a church, we have to figure out how to live stream. And so we want to keep our community. We have to. And so a lot of people had to navigate through seasons that they weren't ready or didn't even know or have the capacity to try to navigate through. And so I just give shout out to the hidden heroes of churches right now, which is the media team. So can you guys give a hand for you guys, this guy back there? I met him this morning. And so let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for this church that's still open, that's still pressing through the pandemic. There's so many places that's just closed their doors. But Father, you've remained faithful here. And so we say thank you for that. Father, give me the words to say. I've prepared and I've done what I'm supposed to do, God, but I'm your vessel. Use me the way that you want. You can throw all of it out the window if you want to. Speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as I was watching your live stream last week, Pastor told you guys that I would be here today, which is another reason I could not come, because he had already told you I was coming. And so I saw that on a live stream, and he said we were going to talk through a lot of the racial injustices that are going on in our nation. And so I was like, dang, I thought I was just going to preach. Now I got to do that. No. So we're going to talk through some of that together. And God has kind of given me a word. But before I get into just scripture and the word, and I think it all actually ties in together. I just love how God does that. Can we just have a conversation? And so here's the way I operate. The more quiet you are, the longer I speak. So if you guys want to go home, y'all start saying amen and talking back. So, and as you can tell, let's start back, all the way back. I grew up in all black church. I grew up just straight, probably some stuff that you guys would call weird. I mean, we were supposed to be Baptist, but I'm pretty sure they just said Baptist just to get other people that were Baptist to come, because we didn't operate like Baptists. You know, so I grew up in that. And so preaching was a little different for us. And so I'm going to give you guys a few ways to respond in preaching today, okay? So here's how we're going to do. Number one, the first way you can respond, everybody hold up a first finger. I like interactive preaching. Hold up your one. Number one, the first way you can respond is what I like to call the deep thought, okay? And that you only get one deep thought per service. Okay, so you can even use these next week. So you get one deep thought per service. So you can, if I say something that you really agree with, you just sit there like this. And just let it sink in. You get one of those. All right. Now, number two, everybody hold up your number twos. The second way that you can respond in service is amens, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. All of those are unlimited. It's kind of like Deeds Buffet. You get as much as you want of those, okay? So those are unlimited. Amens, hallelujah. But it has to be soft. Like, throw soft stuff. Don't throw your shoe. I would take that personally. So that's how we can respond. All right? So let's just kind of jump in and let's have some conversation. I've said this once, but let's be honest, man. Our nation is just really, really tough right now, right? Amen. God, see, you guys ready to go home. I see you doing your number twos. It's tough. And so COVID is bad enough, right? COVID's bad enough. But on top of COVID, for the hearts of some people to begin to show through racial injustice has really been disheartening for me. And it's not that I don't expect it from the world, but it's been that I've been getting it in the church that's been the most difficult. I don't care where you stand on political issues, like what you vote, like none of that matters. At the end of the day, when people are losing their lives because of the color of their skin, that's a problem. And when we don't speak up to it, against that as a church, that's a problem. Amen. And so I watched for 9 minutes a guy with his knee in the guy's back saying, "Hey, I can't breathe." And watched the man on camera lose his life. And watched some churches sit back in silence. Some churches defend the active, defend the action. And it just, and I'm not gonna lie, it became disheartening for me. And it let me see right from the beginning the heart of some people. Me and my family moved here from Dallas, Texas, which is a culture shock in itself. I'm a city boy, everybody. And so I moved to Clinton. I took a job. And through a lot of different circumstances, my wife was just kind of ready to move. Her grandmother had just passed from cancer, and we had just gotten married. And we was just like, okay, let's just move. Let's start over. And we moved to Clinton, Missouri. And it was a fast move, too. So literally, this is how it happened. My wife, so I have a history in music. I've been doing church my whole life, but I've been doing worship. And so I've worked in some of the biggest churches and some of the smallest churches. And I've been doing worship my whole life as a worship pastor. So my wife put my resume online on a Sunday. I had my first interview over the phone on a Monday. I had my next interview with the team that Tuesday. That Friday, I was out here to lead worship for the weekend. I led worship that Sunday. By that following Tuesday, I got a phone call with the church saying that I've gotten a position as the worship pastor. 2 weeks later, we're pulling. So this started in, let me see, June. What's the month before June? In May. This started maybe the second week in May. The first, June 1st, I was pulling in with our U-Haul. And so that's how fast this transition worked. We went from city boy, I wear skinny jeans and Jordans and boots, to bibs. It was a whole nother thing for me. And so I'm sitting there, and we're in Clinton. And a lot of times I'm thinking to myself, Lord, what did I just do with my family? I remember the first time it snowed. And it wasn't even that big of a snow. But I put on my Facebook, man, it's a blizzard out here. And they were like, no, man, this is nothing. I remember coming down and seeing deer. I hadn't seen a deer in my life. It freaked me out. I was scared. But I get to Clinton. And the 4th of July happens. And I'm looking at the 4th of July. So this is my first week. This is my first 4th of July here in Clinton. And they say, hey, I'm getting out. Because I'm fresh and I'm new, I'm getting invitations everywhere. Me and my family can't turn down a place to go. Now, this year, nobody likes us anymore because we didn't get to go anywhere. But so last year, though, we're passing out. Everybody's giving us invitations to go everywhere. And so we end up going to like 8 different places on the 4th of July. But here's what got my attention. A black lady came to me, one of the few that goes to the church, and said, hey, I know you have a lot of invitations to go places, but I want you to come and see what the black people do. And that was a shock for me. And I get to this park, and it's a park full of black people. And so, you know, at this point, I'm excited. I see people that look like me. I didn't even know it was that many of us here. Thank you. Good, we're great. And so I walk in, I'm like, I'm thinking I'm finna get all of them to come to Allen Street and come to church. I'm like, hey guys, hey, what church do you go to? They say, we don't go anywhere because there's nothing for us. It broke my heart. Amen. Because I don't feel like there should be a them and a us anymore. Amen. Like I thought we were past that. And so from that point on, I start feeling like I start taking and doing some looking around. Like I'm even looking online and seeing, hey, what is there in the African-American context? Or even something that's even the blended context with an African-American leader. What I find is that there's not. There's not. And so in Clinton, there's no African-American major leaders at all. So on the whether it be the school board, whether it be, like just nowhere. And that became a problem for me because it made me look at the greater Midwest and I say, hey, what's happening? And then I see that those that are, we're the minority. So what does that say? What does that say? That's teaching our kids, my little black boys and daughters and kids that and even the kids that I don't know, what is that teaching them? The only way you can succeed is by being a good basketball player, a good football player, or a great dope dealer. We have no representation for the gospel. That's a problem. That's a problem. Because if they're not hearing the gospel, that's churches and generations that's not getting to hear that, you know what, you may be messed up and you may be lost in sin, but Jesus saves. And then I have kids looking up and saying that the only people that can represent the gospel is Caucasian people. Guys, that's not true. So I begin to think, how about since it's not there, how about we create it? But I don't want to create something for black people. I want to create something for all people. Amen. There we go. Amen, and so then all these things start happening and then all these different movements start happening and we start looking at Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter and Purple Lives Matter. And it becomes a thing, right? And I'm not speaking on behalf of this or that or none of that. But what I'm trying to say is now it's so easily where now the world seems like it's pushing back towards segregation. Because if you say Black Lives Matter, that means all lives don't matter. But if you say that all lives matter, then you're disrespecting Black Lives Matter. Like, can we talk candidly here, right? Because we can talk about it everywhere else, but then when we get in church, you try to mull over it like it's not happening. But this is the truth. This is what's happening. And so now I'm seeing people say, hey, I can't go to this church because this is a black church. I can't go to this church because this is a white church. And I'm watching white evangelical pastors who have a platform to speak into things saying nothing. And so for me, silence is agreeing. And so while this is happening, people are walking away from the church. And now I have a huge problem with that. So what I say is, you know what? I'm going to be a church in the middle of segregate while the world is trying to go back to segregation. What we decided to do was we're going to partner with other churches. We're going to find friends and we're going to intentionally be a diverse church that when you walk in, you see every color. We're going to be a bridge that's holding people on both sides. So when the black people look at me and say, hey, he looks like me, so I can trust him. But then on the other side, they say, well, no, maybe he don't look like me, but hey, we need to come together. And he's preaching everybody come together and I can do that. Amen. So we decided that we'll be a bridge. You know, God is just like, you ever seen anybody that's like super sneaky? God, I don't mean to call you sneaky, but like you, you do stuff. Like he's not sneaky. He's just really strategic. I grew up in the hood. Like typical story, like legit in the hood. dope dealers across the street, down the street, all that. That's how I grew up. But I went to school across town where I was one of only a few, like, I would be surprised if there were 10 black people in this whole school. And so we went to school year around. And I did that from the time I was in first grade through high school. Like, so all of my best friends were white. And so while my friends back at home in the hood are developing a warped view towards their brothers and sisters that don't have the same skin color as them, I'm looking and I'm seeing, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, but my friend Billy is not like that. And so I see how strategically God from an early age took me and let me see. I had a fourth grade teacher who poured into me, like really poured into me, because I was one of the only black kids at this school. So a lot of the kids there had a whole lot of better resources than I had, been having private tutors their whole lives. Parents were lawyers. This was a really good, it wasn't a private school, but you had to take a test to get in. And so it was year round. While everybody else was on summer, we were still in school. And so we were year round, and I'm watching teachers. Like, I wasn't one of the smartest kids in the school, but there was this lady named Lori Bowling who took me. She took me in fourth grade. And I'm thinking I'm dumb. I remember her sitting me down and saying, "Don, you're not dumb. You don't process like everyone else processes, but you're not dumb. You don't think through this like you're a great problem solver." I watched, and she poured into me. And they had this thing back in the day called, in Texas, called the TOS test. And you couldn't go to the next grade, starting in the fourth grade, you couldn't go to the next grade if you couldn't complete the TOS test. And all the benchmark tests and all the other grades, I failed them miserably because I thought I was dumb. But I watched her pour into me. And just because she was pouring to me doesn't mean she was nice to me all the time. There was times that she challenged me. And she poured into me. She would pick me up on weekends and take me, come to my hood. And I know she didn't live in the hood. She'd drive her nice, pretty car to my hood and pick me up, take me to the movies, take me to Six Flags, take me out. But this whole time, she's speaking into me. And it's not that I had a bad family. My family just didn't have much. And so she's pouring into me and pouring into me. And then when the TOS test finally comes around, we did the writing deal. And remember, she had been telling me this whole time, "Don, you just process differently. You're a creative thinker." She kept pouring that into me. And I remember getting the scores back. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to repeat the fourth grade. The writing thing, we could do either a 1, which means that was horrible, or a 4. A 4 means like that was, so there was 2 people who got a 4. And she got our results back, and she called our classroom to a meeting, and we all sit around in circles on the ground. And she said, "Man, there was one story that got a 4 that we didn't expect." And she's like, "Guess, guys, guess who got this 4? And so I'm sitting in a circle, like, just start thinking of all the people who always get 4s. And everybody's naming all these names. And she says, "Nope, nope, nope. Guess who it was?" And they all said, and then after a while, she says, "Don Hamilton got a 4. And she invited me up to read my story to the class. And I remember my story till this day. It was about a guy being in the army and finding a magic carpet. I was in the fourth grade. But he found a magic carpet that helped him get through all of his things that he had to get through. And I got a 4. And I read it to the class. And from that point forward, I made great grades. But here's why. Because somebody saw enough in me to say, "You might not look like everybody. You might not think like everybody. You might not be like everybody, but you are smart too." And so what I decided to be was a church that say, "Hey, look, we might not look like everybody, We might not be like everybody. I might not have graduated from the greatest seminary. I might not have graduated from seminary at all, but I can stand up here and profess that Jesus saves. And if he turned me around, he can do it for you. And there needs to be a guy on both sides pulling this together. And so as I was preparing, I think I'm almost out of time. I don't know how much time. He didn't give me time, so I'm just going to act like I don't know. As I was preparing, man, I was reading. Did you guys bring Bibles? Do Bibles pop up here? Do you have scriptures here? No? Yeah, no? Okay, you guys have your Bible? I want to share with you a quick story. Because in my life, I'm going to give you the scripture. You guys can go to Acts 9. We'll read verses 8 through like 19. Because in my life, and I know we're reading Acts, guys, I promise you I'm not going to be Pentecostal. I promise you. I can laugh. It's okay. Okay. So in my life, Lori Bowling was what you would call a hidden hero. I'm planting churches and I've stood on stages in front of thousands. I've stood on stages in front of hundreds. I stood on the greatest stages. I stood on the smallest stages. But there's only been a few times where I've been able to talk about Lori Bowling. Lori Bowling is what I would call in my life a hidden hero. And so what we're going to read in this passage is a guy who gets to be a hidden hero in the faith of somebody who in the world of somebody, in the life of someone who changes the New Testament gospel as we know it. OK, so let's read this. I'm going to start at verse 8. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So that they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He didn't eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in the vision. He said, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. Now, if you have pens, if you like to take note, I want you to underline where it says, yes, Lord. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. He said, yes, Lord. Then the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask him for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he has been praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias to come to a place and lay his hands on him to restore his sight. The Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from the eyes of Saul, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. We'll stop there. I promise you guys, I won't take forever. Y'all like, dang, he's preaching too long. Now, I want to give you guys some history, right? Because in order to understand this, you have to know who Saul was. Saul later on becomes who? Paul. Paul is the guy that like goes around planting just major, okay, in our world, he's a major church planter. He walks around planting churches here in Corinth, planting churches in Ephesus. Like, this dude is the guy. But before he's Paul, and before he's doing all the great, like, he wrote, like, half the, three-fourths of the New Testament. Like, that's just about, he's that dude. Like, he's that dude. He's what we would call the GOAT. The greatest of all time. All right, so now Saul, before he turns into Paul, he's Saul. And Saul had a license to persecute Christians. So before he goes and do all this great stuff for a Christian, he was hunting Christians. He literally had a license, like, murder is wrong, but this dude had a license to kill people who believed in Jesus. Like, yo, I don't know about you, but that's a dude that makes me nervous. Like, so now we get to this place and he's persecuting Christians, and Saul's on this road on mission to persecute Christians. And when he's there, he falls and he has this vision. And I don't really know how it happened, but I feel like God says, like, yo, Saul, you're not just persecuting them. What you feel like you're persecuting them, you're really persecuting me. And I'm so glad that I got a God that says, hey, I'm going to stand in the gap here. And I'm going to make it. So Saul has this vision, and I can't prove this, like, I don't know, but I imagine Saul's like walking and he's mad. He's like, just go get me some Christians. Got his boys with him. And Saul, and Jesus beats down from heaven. He's like, Saul, bro, what are you doing? And Saul leaves blind. I'm trying to paraphrase because I've already used a whole lot of time. He gets up from this road of Damascus, and he leaves blind. And so now, for the first time in Saul's life, he's not Paul yet, for the first time in his life, he's experiencing naturally what he's always been spiritually. Blind. And so now when he's blind, he's led by his boys to Judas's house. Now, this is not the same Judas. It's not the same guy. And so he's led to this house. And now that he's at this house, he's being led by feelings because he can't see. Right? So when you can't see, what do you have to do to see where you're going? Feel around. He's being led by his feelings. And that's a dangerous place to be. Anybody ever just made some emotional decisions? Okay, so I guess I'm the only person in the church that's ever made a decision emotionally. That's like, dang, I shouldn't have made that decision. Because being led by your feelings is a really dangerous place to be. But also, there's another thing. Because they say when you lose one of your senses, like, other senses get stronger. I don't know, but they say that. And there's been tests to prove it. So, like, for instance, if I can't hear, they say that your sight is stronger. Right? Because I have to rely even more to make up the difference. So now, what I feel like God did, again, I have no proof, but this is what I feel like happened. God took away Saul's vision so that he can open up his hearing. Amen. And now Paul has to hear what God is saying. And so he's led down into Damascus on a street called Straight. Okay, side note, I promise you. Last side note. Like, when I read the Bible, I read it from this place of, like, again, probably because my imagination, but, like, Do you think it's a like, isn't it super coincidental that this guy is on the street called straight? Like, God, like the sermon is not already good enough. Like the story is not already, you just got to do that. Cool. All right, God, whatever. But side note, sorry. And so he goes down the street called straight. And now he's in this place where he has nobody. Because Saul is alone now. Like, he can't pick up the phone and call the priest. Because if he calls the priest, can you imagine that conversation? Like, ding, 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 ding. Hello? Yeah, so you remember the people that you gave me a license to kill? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm one of them now. So now he gets the same fate that he's been dishing out. But then again, he also can't call Christians because they don't know about the experience that he's just had. So now, can you imagine that conversation? Like, imagine Saul calling your house. Now, I'm a believer, and if Saul called me, like, beep, beep, hello? Hey, this is Saul. You remember me? I'm the guy who's click. That's not a phone call I'm going to have, right? So who does he have now? Nobody. But it's in those places when you are alone where God can really speak to you. Has anybody ever been in the place, Kylie, I feel good now. Has anybody ever been in the place where you're just by yourself and then now I can hear the voice of God? It's in those places. And now don't, and see what can happen is we can confuse being alone for loneliness. And God puts you in the place of isolation to isolate you so he can speak to you, but then you become lonely and you can't hear his voice. And so don't confuse loneliness, a place of isolation, for loneliness. So now Saul is in this place where there's nobody who can speak to him but God. And so there's a guy who now comes along named Ananias. This is where I've been trying to get to this whole time. Can I get 10 more minutes and then I go? I promise. Guy named Ananias. We don't see him anywhere else in the Bible except for here. I told you to underline this part. Because this is in my mind, my imagination again, how I see this conversation going. Ananias is sitting at home, flipping through ESPN, watching it. And God says, Ananias, yes, Lord. Let's stop there. Let's stop there. Because how close do your relationship with God has to be that as soon as he speaks, you know his voice? Like the moment he speaks, it's not like he said, Ananias, did somebody call me? Ananias, anybody? Baby, you calling me? Is the kids calling me? It wasn't that. It was Ananias. Yes, Lord. Guys, I want to be in a place, I don't know about you, but I want to be to such a place spiritually that every time the Lord speaks, I know it's his voice. God, I want you to do this. Yes, Lord. Done. Yes, Lord. And then notice this. The Bible is very intentional. Normally in conversation, it's done. Yes. Yes. Question mark. Right? Ananias didn't respond. Yes. Question mark. He responded. Yes. Exclamation point. What is that saying? God, I don't even know what you're asking me to do. I'm not answering like, yes, Lord, but I'm not saying yes, Lord, like I didn't hear you, but I know you're getting ready to ask me to do something and my response is already yes, Lord. Amen. Whatever you want from me, yes. Whatever you need from me, yes. Done. Yes, Lord. Done. I know you just moved to the lead worship and this is what you're doing, but I need you to plan the church. Yes, Lord. Done. I know you did. Yes, Lord. You might not have the education that I want you to have, but yes, Lord. And I believe that God is even speaking in some of your lives that he's calling you and he's saying, hey, you, yes, Lord. Hey, you, yes, Lord. You, yes, Lord. I need you to start this business. Yes, Lord. Not with a question. God, I don't have enough years left to start a business. I'm just asking you to do it. Amen. Is there anybody here who can say, yo, from this point on, I'm going to respond with not yes, Lord, question mark, but I'm going to say yes, Lord, with an exclamation point. Is there anybody here who can say, yes, that's my response? Amen. And so now, this guy is super in tune with the Holy Spirit. Like super in tune. I think sometimes our modern day technology messes up like how great the Bible really is. Because this dude has no GPS and has to go and find a house he knows nothing about. You really got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Like, it's like, go to Judas's house. Sure, okay. Turn left. Okay. Turn left, right. Turn. Like, you have to be able to hear the Holy Spirit speaking and able to. I want to make an example. Can I have a volunteer? Volunteer somebody, please. Please. No volunteer. This pastor always comes up. Do you trust me?
Amen.
You don't even know me, but you trust me. I just met you today, but you trust me.
I trust you.
Yeah, that's a great pastor. All right. Right? Close your eyes. I want you to do everything that I tell you to do only by following my voice. This could really blow it. We didn't plan this. This could be a horrible example. All right. Take 2 steps to your left. One more step. Now walk forward. Keep walking. I'm not going to let you hit anything. Just trust me. Walk forward. Walk forward. As long as you trust me, we're good. Turn to your left. Take 1 step to your right. Now I need you to make like a 10-degree turn to your right. Now walk forward. As long as you continue to hear my voice, you keep moving. Keep moving. You might bump some stuff sometime, but it's cool. As long as you keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Turn to your left. Turn to your left. Stop moving. Now walk straight. I know it's uncomfortable. You're in a place that you feel like I've been here my whole life. I've been here many times, but it's different walking through it when I can't see it. And you're walking. Now stop, because you're getting ready to hit something. Take a step to your left. Just right to your left. Now continue to move. Continue to move. Stop. 1 step forward. Turn to your left again. Now just walk straight. Continue to walk. Continue to walk. Stop. 1 small step forward to you. Now, just go, don't turn, just go sideways to your left. Step a little step backwards, a little step back. Keep going sideways to your left. 1 more step. Stop. Take 1 more little bitty step to your right. To your right. Do you trust me? Mm-hmm. Sit down. Don't look. Just sit. You can open your eyes now. How did you get there?
Followed your voice.
You followed my voice. This only happened. So this is where, that was good. I didn't even plan that. That just happened. That happens because he followed my voice. He didn't see it. Now, and sometimes it's like, yo, I'm familiar with this place, but it's a whole lot different when you're walking through it blindly. And sometimes we just have to follow the voice of God. God, I can't see it. Just follow my voice. I can't feel it. Follow my voice. God, I just bumped into something. Now I'm getting scared. That's okay. I'll never leave nor forsake you. Amen. I'm with you. God, I bumped my hand and it kind of hurts. I never said that it wouldn't hurt. I just said that I'll get you where you need to go. And so this guy's really in tune with God's voice. And he's following. And he shows up to Judas's house. Probably scared. Because you see in the Bible, in the verse, He kind of has a dialogue with God. God's like, hey, I need you to go talk to Saul. You mean the dude that's killing us? Yeah. God, he's killing us, but I got this. So he gets to Saul's house. And I don't know about you guys, but this is how I imagine this conversation going. This is the house? Yeah, that one right there. You sure, God? Yeah. Okay. Hold on, I'll be there in a second. You don't have to come if you don't want to. I'll be there. Yeah? Judas? Yeah? Cool. Great. All right. Cool. I was nervous. I didn't know if I was at the right house or not. Is there a guy by the name of Saul at the back? Yeah, he's back there. He ain't said nothing for 3 days. He's back there. He won't eat. He won't do anything. He's at the back. Yeah, he's at the back. Is he blind? Yeah. Sweet. Yes. Super cool, because I don't need him to see it. See me. Because now I got to go pray for this guy. See, because if I was God, I wouldn't have chose Ananias, this one-time hero. I would have chose somebody like Peter. Because if Peter gets there and Saul just changes his mind, at least we know Peter going to duke it out with you. Like, yo, bro, if you want to do this, we can let's, all right, cool. But that's not what he does. He chooses Ananias. And what happened? In this one time, this one experience, he lays his hands on his eyes and scales fall off his eyes. And God uses this one guy, one time, to change the scope of the world. We don't see him. We don't hear him. He uses this guy one time. Maybe you're not written as the main character of the story. But can I ask you, whose life are you the Ananias in? Maybe it's not for you to be the Paul. And that's hard, because we live in a world now where we want to be the main character, right? Like, we want to hit the game-winning shot. But what about the guy who makes the great pass for the guy to hit the game-winning shot? Your name might not be written, but you know, oh, this only happened because I did this. God used Ananias in one moment to change. Like, this is why we're here today. We're even here today because God used Ananias in one moment. Amen. Guys, I'm getting ready to plant a church in the city. And I can't do it alone. Like, you may not be able to be, like, some people be like, yo, I can't do nothing because I live in Calhoun. You're going to be in downtown Kansas City. But you can. You can be our Ananias. You can be our Ananias. We need help. We need partners. And you might be able to see us 10 years down the line. And there's this church reaching thousands of people in downtown Kansas City. And you can say, you know what? We were a part of that. I might can't make it out there because I live way in Calhoun. It's an hour and 45 minute drive for me to get there. And that's just ridiculous every week. And I want to be, and I want to live, and I want to serve, and I want to go to church in my community. But guess what I can do? I can pray for those people. We can send finances their way. We can partner with them financially. I might have a cousin that lives right around that area, and guess what? I'm going to call him and say, hey, there's this new church that's coming to your city, bro. You got to know about this. I'm getting ready to go and plant churches, but can I ask you guys to do me a favor? Would you prayerfully consider being an Ananias in our story? This young black guy in the middle of a pandemic when churches are declining, in the middle of what seems like getting ready to be another race war, he's getting ready to try to plant a church for all races to come together. It's going to be really hard. But my answer is yes, Lord. And so while I'll be the Ananias in another person's story, my prayer is that you guys will consider being the Ananias in ours. Can we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your church. Everything that you're doing here in this town, through this church, bless 20 kids with school supplies. God, that's awesome. Some, those probably kids who probably wouldn't have been able to afford to get anything. But because of this church on this corner, already playing Ananias in a lot of people in this community's life, continue to bless them. Continue to bless each and every home individually. Father, bless the pastor of this church. Continue to give him fresh vision for your community. Bless his home. Pastors go through a whole lot, and they give a whole lot, and their homes suffer a whole lot because of it. So, Father, bless his home. In Jesus' name we pray. We love you. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you, Don. God had a word for us today, amen. And I'm so glad, Don, that you came and that you spoke God's word to us. And God spoke to my heart, and I pray that he spoke to yours. And so we have an opportunity before us right now, and I'm going to ask that after the invitation hymn that the ushers would come forward and we would take up a love offering for Don, and that we might begin to partner with what Don's going to do. And I am so glad that God sent Don our way, that he gives us an opportunity to share and be an Ananias and be a part of what's going on as Don tries to pull people together and say that all lives matter. And that's what God says in his word, amen? Jesus died for everybody, and everybody is somebody in the kingdom of God. And God loves all people. And so as we have this invitation hymn, if God spoke to you and you have a decision that you want to make, you come forward during the invitation hymn and make that public. And then after that invitation time, we'll take up that love offering. If Phyllis, if you would play us an offertory song, and we'll take up that love offering, and then we'll be dismissed. So stand with me as we sing page 450.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.